The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
Hi, it's Dr. Will Cole. This podcast is the manifesto for a new breed of health seekers. This is the art of being well. What's up and welcome to The Art of Being Well. I am a leading functional medicine doctor. I get to consult people around the world via telehealth, and I'm a New York Times bestselling author. If you want to learn more about our clinical work, the telehealth center, we have brand new telehealth patient options now open, lots and lots of free resources for you to reclaim your health, all at drwillcole.com. That's drwillcole.com. And listeners, we're giving away free healthy stuff almost every episode. No matter when you listen to this episode, we're giving away free signed books, free supplement protocol stacks that we have at drwillcole.com. We're giving away free telehealth consults for people that are interested in that. All you have to do for a chance to win is head on over to Apple Podcasts and rate and review The Art of Being Well there. Tell us what you love about the show. You can leave your Instagram handle in the Apple Podcast review itself, or you could take a screenshot of that Apple Podcast review and message me on Instagram at Dr. Will Cole. And every single month, we'll be going through the Instagram messages or the Apple Podcast reviews themselves, randomly picking winners every single month. And then we'll reach out to you and we'll ask what you want, either the free signed books, the supplement protocol stacks, or the telehealth consults. So good luck. About every month, we have episodes that we call Mental Health as Physical Health. It's The Art of Being Well's exploration on really specific deep dive topics of things that we have a lot of clinical experience. So if you're interested in health and wellness, nutrition, functional medicine, integrative medicine, sort of advanced science stuff of ways that we help to support people reclaim their health. So we talk very specifically on protocols like chronic Lyme disease or mold toxicity or SIBO or histamine intolerance or hormone imbalances or nervous system dysregulation. And we give a mental health and a physical health component of things that we've integrated and seen great success with clinically to improve labs, improve people's quality of lives. That's the normal format. And to help me every Mental Health is Physical Health episode, we have someone from the mental health and physical health side of the telehealth clinic. On the physical health side, we have our lead functional and diagnostic nutrition practitioner, Andrea. What's up?
Hello.
And on the mental emotional side, we have our lead emotional wellness coach, Candace. What's up?
Hey, everybody. I'm good.
So that's our normal format. We're normally giving a gut and a feelings, if you will component, a mental health, a physical or mental health side. Today's format's going to be a little bit different. We're going to give a mental health as physical health conversation around different hot topics, trending news stories in the media as it pertains to health and wellness, the health and wellness space and health topics as a whole. So first hot topic that we want to talk about today is the Washington Post article that came out not too long ago that was titled, I'll get the title for you all. It was titled...
Do you want me to say it? I have it.
Yeah, go
for it. Women are getting off birth control amid misinformation explosion.
Okay, so this
March 21st, this came out.
Okay, so a while ago came out and it's people are still talking about it and the, sort of the aftermath around this conversation of this Washington Post about birth control and female hormone health and supposed, you know, potential side effects of birth control or women having side effects or having symptoms that are like digestive issues or weight gain or nausea, cyclical mood. Acne, mood changes. And what the Washington Post authors of the article termed misinformation. So what's our hot take on it? And then also let's have a mental health as physical health conversation around birth control and female hormone health as well, which we have covered in past episodes in really specific, you know, estrogen topics or progesterone or testosterone topics. But this is more of a broad birth controls component of this. I posted on social media, so I have given my brief position on this article, that it is unfortunate as a whole. I'm all for freedom of press and people saying whatever they want, but it's unfortunate that they have to go down this road when it comes to women's health. It already has so much medical gaslighting that you have such a legacy media, such a mainstream, huge platform like the Washington Post use this piece centered around birth control and really laid into one woman specifically, Nicole Bendayan, who is a nutritionist. I don't know if I'm pronouncing her last name appropriately, so forgive me. But she's a nutritionist who they interviewed. And I've subsequently, after reading the article, I've looked into her and looked at her work. And I feel it's unfortunate that the Washington Post approached her. They interviewed her for this piece and came across, like they usually do, the journalists, like they're your friends, so they get the best article, and they do this for people. They've done it to me before. Mm-hmm. Oh, they're so chummy with you. They're so nice to you. This is going to be a great piece, and then it's a hit piece. And it is unfit. They take things out of context, and they twist your words, and they use every other, they don't really give your full context of your position. And then they really just blast you because they have an agenda to push. So I feel like it's unfortunate. When you look at female hormone health as a whole, women are already going through so much medical gaslighting on an individual basis. When they know their bodies, something's off here, my weight gain, my cyclical acne, my digestive issues, my inflammatory symptoms, something's off. They go to their doctor, and the doctor either intentionally or unintentionally medically gaslights them. You're crazy. You're just getting, they don't say that, but they're made to feel like they're crazy, shamed for asking questions, delegitimized for asking questions, yeah. Shut down and told you're just depressed, take this antidepressant. You're just getting older. You're just stressed. I mean, that's where the term hysteria came from and where we have a hysterectomy. This whole phrase of women are unstable and stupid and don't know their body, and they need someone in a white coat to tell them how it is. And there's so much of this patriarchal positioning with female doctors, females in the media, and men too, of all types. It's this sort of elitist, arrogant attitude towards women wanting agency over their health and asking questions and wanting informed consent. And I think this is where the Washington Post really lacked, is that all that many of us within the health and wellness functional medicine space are just talking about informed consent and having true transparency so they can make the decision for themselves. I don't like hyperbolic statements against birth control, hormonal birth control, but I want the pros and the cons and the context around it, and people can make the decision for themselves. We yes. all make decisions yeah. that we know have some potential drawbacks, but we can make the decision for ourselves. Yeah, it's a potential drawback, but I get so much good out of this. Right. And a woman can make that decision about hormonal birth control or an IUD or something else that's what we're trying to have. The problem is when there's so much hiding and spinning and not informed consent. Just take this, no questions asked, see you later. And if you ask questions, they gaslight you.
Yeah, you're problematic. Yeah.
You're problematic. And this article, I feel like I would say that they took attempts to show, yes, there's side effects, but it was almost like it was written by a pharmaceutical company. It was like that's how I took it. It's very much like that was their bent. And they mention the skepticism within a lot of communities
mention political parties.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And that's the thing too. It's they made this political, like it was some right wing thing.
Yes.
I don't know anybody right wing within the health and wellness space that are talking about this. It's all left wing progressive people because that's not political. Yeah, this is people's health. And yes, there's people on the right that are talking about this, but there are people that are left that are talking about this, but they just took the people on the right that are polarizing and made this to be a right-wing thing. That's ridiculous. This is a human thing and an informed consent thing. And they tied it into abortion rights and people, birth control levels going down. So more people are having unwanted pregnancies. It's getting looped up into messiness that we're not even talking about within health and wellness. We're talking about symptoms and people's health, and that is our lane. And it's a real topic, and it's unfortunate that it's become politicized when it's not political, it's health.
Yes, 100%. And I can't tell you how seriously angry this article made me. Because not even because we're anti-birth control. I mean, how many times do we have patients that come here, and who am I to tell someone how not to get pregnant? That is entirely up to them. But to invalidate every woman that has said, you know what, I started birth control and these were my symptoms and I was told I'm crazy, that can't do that. That's not true. It's just clinically not true. And that might not be everybody's experience. And maybe for some people, those symptoms are worth it for the protection that it offers. But, and then this article takes the weirdest turns, like you said, to the right wing and then the abortion laws. And I'm like, but this started off with you trying to tell people that the symptoms that they're experiencing aren't, they may in very rare circumstances. So you're making every person that potentially feels like something changed when I started this that's not good, that, well, you're just an abnormality. You're wrong. There can't be. And that's infuriating from a health perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's absolutely not, it was inaccurate to even call them rare side effects, because common, it's listed on the NuvaRing, for example, and other birth controls as common side effects is weight gain and mood disorders and nausea and migraines. These are common side effects that are on the pharmaceutical site's website for these birth control. Again, doesn't make them, if someone wants to be on them, they're already disclosing them on the pharmaceutical site website. So why is it then inappropriate or misinformation for women with those side effects to talk about it? How dare they talk about these common side effects and intuitively tie them and ask questions? Could they be the birth control? Don't. It's misinformation. And they're shut down, they're deplatformed, and they're silenced with this pejorative of misinformation, which don't even get me started on that. But Candace, what's your take on this?
So the article, I didn't feel as much emotion about it. I am more in the camp of like, well, if I have to evaluate all sources, this is just another piece of the conversation. And so for on that very basic level, I appreciate it a little bit because, you know, in articles like this give me an opportunity to talk to friends, gives me an opportunity to talk to my daughter who is 17, you know, and deepen the conversation, because they're talking about TikTok here specifically. And I think that for me, I'm like, okay, let's have these conversations. I think the part that troubled me was so quickly they dismissed swaths of women that long before TikTok have just been anecdotally talking about their experiences. But what I was wishing for in this article was like, you're telling me, I think one of the sentences was like, you know, experts say these are safe, but it didn't really give me any more information on, well, what, tell me about the studies. Tell me about the meta studies. Like, I'm someone that this is not my area of expertise.
Candace is in the mental health.
Yeah.
Side
so
of
I would have
healthcare.
And you know, just full disclosure for me, birth control has never been that option medically. I've always used other methods. So, you know, for me, this topic is not something I dive deep on regularly because I've made my decision. I don't have to revisit it. But so I would have loved to have known, well, what does the research say? If you're going to tell me that it's safe, what do the medicine, we've had these pills long enough that there should be research upon research. Where is that spelled out here a little bit more for the reader? And what we also know is that we know that women's things aren't studied. And also just as a casual reader, I'd go, well, why would there even be, like, for how many women are taking birth control, why would there be studies now about the efficacy if they've already been determined safe? Like, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I wanted more science. If you're going to have an article that's saying there's misinformation, where's the science? Where's the other side? So
right.
I just think there was a missed opportunity just in pure journalism. If you want to, you know, I do hold journalists to high regard, and I do expect that. So I felt that was missing right here.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that when you are coming at it when you start putting things like natural in quotes, you already know they're not actually wanting to look at the other side. You're going to delegitimize, you're going to make small and shame what they put in quotes, this sort of smug natural and this elitist arrogant attitude towards these complex topics where the truth often lies in the middle. The truth is normally a both and.
Yeah.
But the both and is not clear. It's muddy and it's complex, and people want the black and white, pejorative, tribalistic, us versus them attitude about this. And it's so unfortunate because the only people that suffer are the people that are having these very real symptoms and are getting medically gaslit, not just in their conventional doctor's office, unintentionally or unintentionally, but they're also in the media. I have these symptoms. Well, I must be crazy, you know, and this.
Or I went down the wrong algorithm and I'm misinformed. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
You know,
they mentioned a TikTok. It was around a birth control, I think it was maybe an IUD. It was in the article. And the person they interviewed in this sort of establishment, researcher or medical doctor, saying that 40% of the content around IUDs were negative, and the algorithm feeds topics of negativity, which I totally get. That is an issue because it elicits engagement and it can breed a lot of that keyboard warrior that isn't good. But
I would argue, well, then what's the solution to it? Is it pieces like this, or is it what would, you know, the answer isn't going on the other side. The answer is being more informed about how we consume and what we consume.
Yes.
And what, you know what I mean? And what we listen to and why.
Right.
That doesn't seem like a political issue or something that it's so to me. I'm like, even this article, while I appreciate the topics that it brings up and even the opportunity that we get to chat about this, it's like, but you didn't really dive into the bigger scope of really we're kind of illiterate. I think it mentions it once. So to be fair of, you know, we're kind of illiterate about how we consume information and how children consume information, because that was the other concern here.
Yeah. Like
that
the Gen Z comparatively to millennials. And
yeah.
Like,
and even Gen Alpha now coming up. Yeah. Right. And I'm remiss a little bit because I said talking to my daughter about this, but this is a conversation we should be having with our sons too. Mm-hmm. at an early age too.
Absolutely. The CDC estimates that there are approximately 96 million American adults, more than one in three people, have prediabetes. Of those with prediabetes, more than 80% of people don't even know they have the problem. And foods high in refined carbohydrates, lacking fiber, raise blood sugar more than other foods. And during digestion, the pancreas produces insulin, which then binds the sugar in the blood and takes it into the cell as a source of energy. A healthy weight allows insulin to work more efficiently. It can help to keep blood sugars within a normal optimal range. And the foods we eat and exercise levels, stress management, sleep are the best ways to help bring your blood sugar levels back to a healthy range. Signos can help you short circuit this cycle. I love this data. We recommend it to telehealth patients to look at their own bio-individual data. With Signos, you can literally see which foods cause your blood sugar to spike above reasonable levels and get real-time alerts to do a bit of exercise to bring them back down. On average, people make about 227 food choices a day. You can learn the difference between stress eating and physical hunger, better manage your energy throughout the day, and optimize your sleep better at night with this real-time data. Signos is going to remove the guesswork of weight loss and metabolic health and provide you with the tools and knowledge that you need to develop healthier habits. It combines your glucose data from the CGM, from the continuous glucose monitor, again with this AI-driven app, to deliver you real-time glucose insights for optimal health and weight management. Right now, Signos has an offer exclusively for our listeners. Go to signos.com, that's SIGNOS.com, to get up to 20% off select plans by using code WILLCOLE today. That's signos.com, use code WILLCOLE to get up to 20% off select plans for you today. It's important to me that the supplements I take are of high quality, and that's why I've loved AG1 for years. I've been drinking it so long at this point. AG1 is constantly searching for how to do things better. At 52 iterations of their formula and counting, their team is always trying to find better ways to source, test, and aim to find the best quality ingredients available. So many people have asked me if AG1 is actually the real deal. And trust me, there's a reason why I've been drinking it for so long. Quality for AG1 isn't just a buzzword. It's a commitment backed by expert-led scientific research, high-quality ingredients, industry-leading manufacturing, and rigorous testing. At each step of the process, AG1 goes above and beyond industry standards. I know I can trust what's in every scoop of AG1 because it's tested for 950 contaminants and banned substances, while the industry standard typically only tests for 10. Taking care of my health shouldn't be complicated, and AG1 simplifies this by covering my nutritional bases and setting myself up for success in just 60 seconds. I have it when I get to the telehealth center, just one scoop and a cup of water every day. It tastes amazing. AG1's ingredients are heavily researched for efficacy and quality, and I love that every scoop also includes prebiotics, probiotics, digestive enzymes for gut support. I've partnered with AG1 for a long time now because they make such a great, high-quality product that I genuinely look forward to drinking every day. So if you want something that's simple to cover your nutritional bases, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3, K2, and five free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/Will Cole. That's drinkag1.com/Will Cole. Check it out. When you see an epidemic rise of autoimmune issues, gut health problems, hormonal problems, of course people are going to be asking the questions why. And we have to look at all the variables. It is complex. It is multifaceted. It's not just one thing. We have to look at the foods we're eating or the foods we're not eating. We have to look at nutrient deficiencies, of which these hormonal birth control can deplete and perpetuate nutrient deficiencies. We have to look at gut health and the decimation of the soil microbiome and its connection to our gut microbiome, which is impacting hormonal health and inflammation levels. We have to look at environmental toxins as a whole and its impact on our hormones and our gut health. And we have to look at the mental emotional side of this, which is what these episodes are all about, chronic stress, unresolved trauma, and medications. We have to look at all of these areas and then say, you can't talk about the pharmaceutical one, because anybody that talks about the common side effects that are on the websites of the pharmaceutical companies, if you talk about that, that's misinformation. And you really can't talk about food either, because there's a lot of money behind that too.
Right.
And that's misinformation. So they really don't want us to have that many conversations freely about this. And I can't help but think that there's this, and as we get into these other hot topics, there's a common thread amongst them that I feel like the long form and not just the long form conversations as far as podcasts are concerned, and the no gatekeeper ways of having conversations like social media is very threatening to a oligarchy monopoly of when that's used to gatekeeping and used to owning the narrative of a certain thing, this sort of orthodoxy. And now we're living in a time, it's really in, we're in the first 10, 15 years, right, of experiencing this level. And I would say in the last few years, especially since the pandemic, even more of the sort of concerted conversation of all different types of voices and opinions, a diverse slew of good and bad thoughts and voices and opinions that may all be great, but there's no gatekeeping, very little gatekeeping, and there's unprecedented amount of long-form conversations on podcasts. And that's what seems to be under threat. They feel like they're threatened by this. So they have these massive pieces, because it really comes down to me something within the Washington Post article that said in a 2017 to 2019 federal survey, which is the latest available, 14% of women ages 15 to 49 said they were currently using oral contraceptive pills, and 10% said they were using long-acting reversible contraceptives such as the IUD. Mm-hmm. In a federal survey of women aged 15 to 44 who had sex, the percentage who reported having used the pill dropped from 82% to 79%, which is a massive drop, but it statistically impacts, that's a lot of women that have decreased between 2002 and 2015, while the percentage of for those having used an IUD more than doubled to 15%. So women actually doubled using an IUD in that range. I think what they're worried about is more and more people coming off of it, and more people, that's lost revenue for a very powerful industry. And I just think it's unfortunate that you talk about, we're the same advocates that would say, believe the women, don't believe the women when they talk about their own shared experiences, their own lived experiences about their health.
Well, when it impacts someone making money, ultimately.
Yeah.
It's like, this is going to impact me. So now I want you to keep your mouth closed. If it doesn't impact me, I'll be more than glad to talk about it. But if it's going to impact me, I don't want to talk about it. And it, to me, that's really what it comes down to, is it's your, that's that control of that narrative of you're allowed to have your experiences unless it impacts me. And that's what I think the most frustrating part of this is, having done this for what, over 14 years now, is seeing women who have been misinformed. You want to talk about misinformation? We've seen misinformation. Again, not anti-birth control. Who am I, again, to tell anybody how not to get pregnant? But when you go to a doctor and they are telling you this hormonal IUD, which has upwards of 5+ years worth of hormones in it, the hormones don't leave your uterus. This is what was a patient was told. The hormones do not leave your uterus. How? How? How is that even physically possible? You're saying it doesn't get into your bloodstream, doesn't go anywhere else. It just magically stays in your uterus. That's misinformation. Could that woman still have chosen to use that? And probably would have if they would just been honest and been like, it's just like an oral contraceptive. Only you don't have to remember to take it, that it's implanted. She probably still would have done it. But that person either themselves was vastly misinformed, or the patient received it wrong. There's so much things that you could talk about. And that's just one experience. And so for me, it's about, again, not birth control or using or like having to only do alternative methods. You want to talk about just free and available science, Candace. That's how I felt. I'm like, where's the science? If it's so safe, if it's so good, tell me, give me the information.
Well, and even in the clinical setting, backing again down to just, well, I always look at the core of the root. Okay, let's talk about the patient-doctor relationship. Because if you're saying that the story you just told, there could be multiple ways that there was misinformation passed.
Yeah.
So how we do allopathic medicine here is one of the things I want to talk about, because did this person get a written, they send them home with the side effect list that we know no one uses. So is medical care? Because I know the way that we handle patient care is different. We want to make sure everyone's educated. They understand why we're recommending something. A lot of the things we share with people, we put in writing that isn't a side effect sheet from the pharmaceutical company. It's a written letter from Andrea or Dr. Cole, where we're saying, this is how your care is going to be outlined. Here's why we're making these recommendations, so that the patient can what? If they want to, they can go
make an informed decision anywhere. Research here on their own. Someone else.
Yeah. So I think that's a piece of it too. And you know, I think it's, I always want to go back to what's bigger. What can we really talk about that can be changed? Because I don't know that we're going to change these articles coming out. I'm not entirely sure that they matter much more than the TikTokers that they're so worried about either.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's, you, Will's looking at me, you know me, that I'm,
I, here's kind of my stance. I even crack up. I'm like, does maybe the millennials decline because we're actually trying to get pregnant now? Maybe that's why we're on less birth control.
Is that the 3%?
3% of people that are on less birth control are maybe actually trying to have babies. Like, it's just so speculative. But
yeah, right. Yeah, it's speculative because who knows? They could be using one of these other methods, which we could talk about.
Because there is some better education. Some women may have made a different choice for a very good reason.
Right.
Yeah, not necessarily a misinformed one.
And I will tell you from personal experience, because I mean, like 16-year-old me, doesn't matter how you educated me, I probably still would have used the birth control that I got at the clinic. But 23-year-old me may have made different choices if I had been educated differently.
Yeah. And these sort of FAM methods that they delegitimized in the Washington Post article, that was very cherry-picked data too, to delegitimize something. This FAM stands for fertility awareness method. So it's temperature and cervical fluid temperature, which is, there's lots of different methods. And they were saying, well, it's 76% effective. So there's a lot of people that it failed.
They were saying like 25%.
They were cherry picking that as a whole of these fertility awareness methods, but the symptothermal method has a 98 to 99%, according to the scientific literature, effectiveness, which is where you test your cervical fluid and test your temperature. But in truth, yes, it takes more planning, takes more education. It's not for everybody.
Right. Yeah. And again, is the solution, because this is a hard thing for young women to digest, that we just throw them on a pill? Or do we educate, you know, what is the role of parents again?
Not one again, time, you know, has anybody, even in a health class, you want to go that far back, Candace, to your solution minded, maybe actually teach women about their body. Maybe teach them that fluid is normal. Let's not shame anybody about it. Let's not automatically assume you have an STD. Let's teach them about organic tampons as comparatively to chemically laced ones. Let's teach them about fertility and that you can only get pregnant 6 days out of the month. Like, there should be conversations around it.
Yeah, and both sides too, because I do think it's important for young men to know that as well, because they're 50% of the reproductive equation in that sense.
If you've learned nothing else, it's that in today's conversation.
We need you too, men.
Real changes happen when you're consistent, and achieving the hair of your dreams is no exception. Thanks to Vegamore, sticking to your hair routine has never been easier. And when you're consistent with this, you're going to see amazing results. For hair care products specifically and outside and support, I recommend Vegamore to all of our telehealth patients that are looking to support healthier, stronger hair. Vegamore products are 100% cruelty-free and are never formulated with potentially harmful chemicals like parabens or hormones. When it comes to seeing results, the key, again, is consistency. When you make it a part of your daily routine, you're going to see amazing results and be so happy with the way your hair looks and feels. For best results, use for a minimum of 3 months. That's what I recommend. For visibly fuller, healthier, and thicker looking hair. Something that I recommend that they have is their monthly subscription of their Grow, spelled G-R-O, the Grow Hair Serum. Write that down if you're not driving. Vegamore makes it easy to stay consistent. When you sign up for the monthly subscription, you can get one bottle or three bottles sent. Plus, you save more and you'll never run low on these amazing products that you need to take great care of your hair. Fun fact, Vegamore sells one bottle of the Grow Hair Serum every 15 seconds on their website. That's how legendary this stuff is. Elevate your hair wellness routine this year with Vegamore. For a limited time, get 20% off your first subscription order by going to vegamore.com/Will Cole and use code Will Cole at checkout. That's vegamore.com/Will Cole. Use code Will Cole to save 20% off in your first order. vegamore.com/Will Cole. Code Will Cole. You all know I love talking about the latest science when it comes to improving, increasing our health span, supporting longevity on the pod. I had the chief medical officer at Timeline Nutrition on. We talk all about the science around mitophagy and the specific postbiotic called urolithin A. Maintaining muscle health, energy, is critically important to longevity and enduring good health. Postbiotics, which are the active nutrients your body makes during digestion, are an exciting emerging driver of good health. Urolithin A is one of the first postbiotics shown to have major health benefits and has become available to all of us now. Urolithin A upgrades your body's cellular power grid, giving your body the energy it needs to optimize. Clinical studies have shown that 500 milligrams of urolithin A, that's all you need, but that change alone, 500 milligrams, significantly increases muscle strength and endurance throughout your day with no other changes in lifestyle. Again, my go-to for urolithin A has been MitoPure from Timeline Nutrition, something that I've noticed such a difference. Timeline Nutrition is a Swiss-based life science company. It's a global leader in urolithin A research, and their products are NSF certified for sport. Timeline has MitoPure in three different products designed to fit your needs. They have the berry powder. You can mix it in your yogurt or your daily smoothie. They have the protein powder, which adds the muscle health benefits of whey protein to the bioenergetics of MitoPure, and the soft gels, which is super convenient to have on the go. Timeline is offering 10% on your first order of MitoPure. Go to timelinenutrition.com/Will Cole. Use code Will Cole to get 10% off your order. That's TimeLineNutrition.com/Will Cole. I recommend trying the starter pack with all three formats and see which one you like the best. I'll mention briefly my thoughts on the whole misinformation. It really gets me under my skin so much because that term has become such a euphemism for any unsanctioned or unapproved thought, voice, or experience. And it's not misinformation. It's not information for women to ask questions and want agency over their health and wanting informed consent. Shame on you, Washington Post, for lumping those women as misinformation. Yes. And also, it is not it is used as, it's weaponized. The term misinformation is weaponized to silence people who are asking questions against the orthodoxy. And also, I will say, I find it so ironic that since the human lexicon, the zeitgeist of the term misinformation, it's the people that are overusing that word the most, misinformation, it's thrown out flippantly, are actually spreading the most misinformation online, because they don't ask questions. And I think the statistics speak for themselves. Out of 180 countries, this is the Free Press Society. I'm going to forget the name of it, but the United States ranked, I think, 48 out of 180. We're supposed to be the freest country on the planet, one of the freest countries. And we rank 48 when it comes to freedom of press. And you look at this level of censoring and canceling and deplatforming and spinning with these hit pieces on the media, it's shameful. And I think we're afraid of diversity of thought. We're afraid of, like you said, how we consume information. Do we think so low of people?
Yes.
That's what it is. You are stupid and we're going to think for you. Because you can't think for you. So we know what's best. So we're going to show you we're going to decide what you see.
Yeah.
And we're going to decide what you have. And when you look at
because you can't be trusted with all of the information.
Yeah.
Anecdotal, our studies, you know, and then, yeah.
And you think of the history of it, and the Washington Post touched on this, which I was happy about, the history of forced sterilization in the United States. From the late 1800s, late 19th century to the mid 20th century, there are many examples of coerced sterilization of Black people, of indigenous people, of poor people. And I feel like we have a right to question a narrative that's being pushed, because history speaks for itself and we need to learn from history. And I'm not saying that's happening now, but when you look at, I mean, this may be controversial, but it's, you talk about, they like to use the word problematic. This is problematic. It's problematic to know the history of Planned Parenthood. Margaret Sanger may have done many good in her life as well. And you have to consider the context of her time. But she also was a known advocate of eugenics, of sterilizing Black people and poor people, because they were going to dirty the gene pool. And the same voices are saying it's misinformation talk against this industry. Well, these are the descendants of eugenics. And I'm not saying, again, we want pro-informed consent, but there's a problematic history around this. And it's understandable that people would want to have questions about not just the history of this industry, but also the side effects that can happen from these medications. So,
and the trauma of that is written in our genetic codes too, now we know. So people that had these experiences, it's not only just a valid reaction because we're all human, it's valid deeper because this is something that happened. It's very real that happened.
Right. Yeah, it was just a few generations ago that people went through this. So again, we're not anti-birth control in functional medicine. We just asked the question, what's your most effective option that causes you the least amount of side effects? And for you to make an educated decision for you. We have many of our patients are on hormonal birth control.
Yes.
Copper IUDs, the NuvaRing. There's nothing.
Progesterone pills, estrogen pills,
It's hormone replacement therapy. We're not anti that at all. We are just for informed consent and for people to make the decision for themselves.
Yes.
And that's kind of our take on that.
You mean, so we're unbiased and allow people to make choices for themselves. Yeah, that's exactly it.
And guess what? It sounds scary because some of our patients decide to go stay on it and some of our patients decide to talk with their prescribing doctor at finding alternatives, and it's okay. And that's the beauty of all of this, is that the other side of it, we actually see a microcosm of informed consent with our telehealth patients. Mm-hmm. Some people stay on it, some people don't, but everyone's empowered to make a decision that's right for them. This principle is applied to feminism in all other areas and is applauded and praised. Let's do the same within healthcare when it comes to birth control. Let's not think women are so stupid and can't think for themselves when you give them both sides of the conversation. So, sorry, when I see people's bodies wrecked by this and then also mentally, emotionally shamed for having these symptoms, I've been in this space too long to not feel defensive for these people that 100%. Have gone through this.
And that's what it is. It's actually almost like a parental sort of like, I want to validate you. I want you to feel heard and seen and understood. And we're going to work out a solution together and we're going to figure this out. And you don't have to be by yourself. And I think that is so powerful of a message that you say. And this is why you've been attacked, is because you empower people. You don't tear them down. And that's what frustrates me about even seeing this article and seeing this Nicole and how they twisted and changed everything of what she said. It was not a good piece.
Yeah. And I would also look at, well, and we'll move on after this. Not that this has to do with birth control and eugenics and sterilization, but you look at the U.S. funded Tuskegee experiments with Black people and syphilis and having treatments for syphilis and not giving them treatments because of the way that we were treating people that were marginalized. You look at the U.S. in the 40s also funded research of syphilis in Guatemala and injected them with syphilis. And again, this is a whole industry that has been shady and quote unquote problematic. And there's a lot of good from it too. But I'm saying you have to ignore the problematic stuff, and we can't talk about that. It's anti-American, in my opinion. It's anti-free thought and diversity of thought and opinion. Anyways, yeah. Have you heard about the Beam Dream Powder? Man, it is so good. The Beam Dream Powder is the science-backed, healthy, hot cocoa. It is so delicious. This is creamy, decadent, hot cocoa for sleep. If you know me, my day job is optimizing sleep and looking at the latest natural science-backed ways to support many different pathways in the body. But sleep is imperative. Just one night of poor sleep can spike high sensitivity C-reactive protein levels, can spike inflammation levels. Sleep is not a luxury. It's a mandate on your health. And today, my listeners get a special discount on Beam's Dream Powder. They're science-backed, healthy hot cocoa for sleep, no added sugar. Better sleep has never tasted better. Now available in delicious flavors like the chocolate peanut butter, the cinnamon cocoa, the sea salt caramel, with only 15 calories and 0 grams of sugar. Better sleep has never tasted better. Other sleep aids can cause next day grogginess, but Dream contains a powerful all natural blend of reishi, magnesium, L-theanine, melatonin, and nano CBD to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed. The numbers don't lie. In a clinical study, 93% of participants reported Dream helped them get better sleep. Almost everybody. Beam Dream is easy to add to your nighttime routine. Just mix Dream into hot water or milk, froth, and enjoy before bed. Find out why Forbes and the New York Times are all talking about Beam and why it's trusted by the world's top athletes and business professionals. If you want to try Beam's best-selling Dream Powder, get up to 40% off for a limited time right now when you go to shopbeam.com/WillCole. Use code WillCole at checkout. That's shopbeam.com/WillCole. Use code WillCole for up to 40% off. If you haven't checked out Mudwater, I have used it for a long time. It is a delicious treat, a great coffee alternative. We always have at least one canister here at the telehealth center. Drinking coffee can often make me feel jittery, keeps me awake without much actual energy, and leads my body to depend on it daily. So I have to limit my coffee for sure. So I've been drinking Mudwater for a long time to replace coffee, not have so much coffee in my life while still having all the day energy I need without the crash or jitters. Mudwater tastes amazing. I just mix it up in water. You could add some honey to it if you wanted to. Mudwater is a healthy habit brand, best known for its popular coffee alternative, the Rise Cacao. So good, guys. It's got 4 functional mushrooms and with only a fraction of caffeine as a cup of coffee. You get natural energy without the jitters or crash of coffee. Each ingredient was added for a purpose. There's cacao and chai for a hint of caffeine and a hot chocolate-like flavor. Lion's mane for focus, cordyceps to promote natural energy, and both chaga and reishi to support a healthy immune system. Plus, it's Whole30 approved. That's actually how I met them. I met them through Melissa Urban, one of my good friends, founder of Whole30 years ago in LA. They're 100% USDA certified organic, non-GMO, gluten-free, vegan, and kosher. Mudwater donates monthly to support psychedelic research and has since day one. They believe the country is in a mental health epidemic and that psychedelic-assisted therapy is one of the most effective tools we have to treat mental health conditions. Mudwater is hooking up my show with a special offer. If you go to mudwater.com/WillCole, you get a free frother and $20 off. That's mudwtr.com/willcole for a free frother and $20 off. That's mudwtr.com/willcole. So moving on to other hot topics
that we're also very strongly opinionated about.
Right. So we have these pieces that have been talked about at length within the health and wellness space and beyond. And I'll just lump them together as like a commentary. And the connection between mental health and physical health is media and our mental health.
Yes.
And good, bad, and ugly, what's our hot take on this? The Andrew Huberman piece in New York Magazine and the Jay Shetty piece in The Guardian. Mm-hmm. Sort of, you could call them investigative journalism about their personal life. On the pro, you could call them like it's investigative journalism or is it hit piece? What say you?
I say team? Hit piece.
It is 100% a hit piece. I'm sorry. I am.
And full disclosure, yeah. Andrew Huberman, I'm not a fan of him. I don't listen to his podcast. Candace is admittedly, full disclosure, calls him Zaddy privately.
Yeah, and totally no. out of the article. I am not in that situation.
She's not one of the six women.
But Had I known.
Yeah, so let's give a little bit of background. The Andrew Huberman piece, it was largely, I agree, it was a hit piece because when there's nothing illegal done, it just screams of hit piece and not investigative journalism. The fact that it was basically he was, and let me have a very contextual nuanced conversation on this. I am not advocating bad behavior. He may be a complete narcissistic a-hole to women. And that's what it sounds like if what he said in this article is true, or he's like most humans and he makes some bad choices and he has a lot of good stuff too. That's probably, again, the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. But I find that it to be unfortunate that they just went, interviewed ex-girlfriends, and that's all they could find on him. There was nothing illegal. There was nothing super sensational. He just talked to women and he cheated on multiple women. And he was not living in, if what the article said is true, he wasn't living in integrity, wasn't being honest, and he wasn't treating people with respect. All of that's not okay. That's not why people are listening to his podcast. He's not giving relationship advice. Now, you could make the argument, and I've had friends in the wellness space say this to me and on social media, you cannot separate someone's personal life with their professional life. I agreed to that to an extent, but not when something's completely different. And we would not have a president in the United States. We would not have any political leader. We would not have any on social media, man, woman, non-binary, whoever you are. You would not have many people who would be able to have a voice when you wouldn't have some good, bad, and ugly to their behavior because they're human.
Yes, that was my take on it immediately. And in fact, me and you at first slightly, you thought I was not giving enough credit and I was separating it too much. I'm sorry. There's nobody in this world that is perfect. Not one. And the fact of it is that was it an egregious relational error potentially? Yes. Was it anything professionally that he did? No. No one says that his science isn't accredited. No one says that the things that he tells people to do aren't helpful. No one said that what he is, the article goes on to talk about like just peripherally talk about how he's actually brought attention to things and helped people and even in the alcoholic community. But he really treated his ex-girlfriends poorly. I'm sorry. Find an ex-boyfriend of mine that will say I was a wonderful human. So I'm sorry. To me, at some point in time, there is like this separation of I made poor choices.
The next episode is going to be me interviewing Andrea's ex-boyfriend. Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Oh,
that would be an interesting
help
one.
Help us all.
On that note, I would love the authors for these pieces in the media. I would love their exes to be interviewed. I would love their lives to be dissected.
That's my point.
Yes.
That was my point the entirety of this. He did nothing illegal. He did nothing that actually mitigated his responsibility towards his job other than made some poor choices potentially. Please tell me how in the world this is not a hit piece.
Yeah.
Because in fact, and the best they could come up with, The best was he doesn't put associate professor before his name.
That was so.
I am like, are you reaching. Freaking that kidding
was, he's
me?
He's a professor at Stanford, but he likes to ignore the associate. Like anyone gives it crap.
I couldn't.
Associate professor.
I was undone.
That's your level of dirt you have on him.
Yes.
He doesn't use the word associate, just professor. I mean, it's a reach, man. This guy's pretty pristine as far as humans go, if that's all you got.
So I'm like, I will die on this hill. I'm sorry. I don't even listen to Andrew Huberman's podcast.
Well, what? Two out of three of us don't. So how big is this guy's influence that he even needed a hit piece, which is like, they're worried. They're really concerned about the power of this man. Yes. That's saying, get sunlight on your eyes in the morning.
Yeah, that's exactly what my point is here, is that he is too powerful for the gatekeepers and the legacy media.
And it's so fat. That's the thing for me, the takeaway was, where is that threshold? Because we know that exists on some level. We don't call into question a lot of the people that have way more power and influence than Andrew Huberman. So this is the threshold. Where is he at in terms of net worth and influence? And how many podcast listeners? Is he just in the top 10?
Yeah.
Is he even where Jay Shetty is?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think he was top three.
Health podcast.
Right. And I know that. But in this room, I don't listen to every episode. And
you
I'm
don't?
Not even having, no.
Oh, I'm
so my fanhood has been just, you know, my fanhood was misrepresented earlier.
Misinformation. Sorry.
No.
It's a little problematic.
I just think it's, people are going for science information. You pull any professor and look at academia. I'm sure they're filled with narcissists and egomaniacs. We would not have a university institution if we got rid of all the narcissists.
Or you're just like, you think different. Like, is your brain just different? And
touched on him being a love addict and being open to his sort of complicated relationship with his mom. Okay. That's many people have very unhealthy relationship patterns.
And have done positive things with it too.
Right.
And that's,
they've done many good things too.
My question goes back to, again, how do we interpret information and why? You know, for me, it's like, if I don't have the ability to take from any situation the good, the bad, and filter out, then I'm in trouble. It doesn't matter how many articles or how much I'm being told somebody is egregious, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Absolutely. And I will say too that it was... And I love my friends. I will, my you're my friend. You both are my friends. But I'm saying my friends.
Here comes. This is our hit piece. Here it comes.
My friends within the wellness space, like people that I've known for a long time, I don't work with, but are friends in the wellness space. And I want people to have diversity of thought here and different opinions. And I respect them for having that. What I didn't sit with me well was the day or the day after this New York Magazine piece came out with Andrew Huberman. They didn't miss a beat. These are people, we have had dinner with Andrew Huberman at different work events. We have, where we know him peripherally, or we've had conversations with him in different health functions, that within a day or two of this piece coming out, you have to go online and disavow him and virtue signal and put him on the altar, the pyre of the pontification on social media, and slam him. Even if you privately are like, you know what, I'm not going to recommend him anymore, or I'm going to second guess this, fine. But do you really have to put him up as your sacrificial lamb of virtue signaling? It's so sad. And these are people that know him to a certain extent, or even if they don't know him, he's another human being. And didn't we learn anything with Kate Middleton? And it's like the media ran with conspiracies and stories and hearsays, and she said and they said.
And still are.
And then we found out she was struggling behind closed doors with cancer. And how wrong was everybody to go on social media and pontificate and give their weird opinion when they don't even know this person? This was an article, and within a day or two, you're saying they cited ex-girlfriends, you're going to assume that's 100% true and go on social media and disavow him. That is really a sad state of affairs, because it's so advantageous to do it though, right?
Well,
it gets clicks because you're shaming somebody with negativity online.
Well, if you're not even tied to them, why do you care?
Well,
if you had
they
no
feel like
standing.
To take their position, they feel like they have a responsibility if they recommended Huberman in the past.
But what some of these people, I don't think did.
I think we all have a too much of a dose of our own sense of responsibility.
Yeah.
And not enough respect for yes, others' Candace. Responsibility for their own actions.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Like, again, it's like, if I spoon fed you Huberman, now I have to apologize for spoon feeding you Huberman because you can't think yep. for yourselves, it's all Instagram part of, followers.
It's all part of the same thing. Yeah. You can't think for yourself.
Well, and I mean, if you're silent on a topic for 2 days, you'll get hate comments. Why haven't you commented on this geopolitical?
Well, I mean, did you just see, this is completely aside from that, but along the same lines, there's two Korean actors that came out in February and said that we were dating, that they were dating. And she got so much backlash for having a boyfriend. She had to go on public social media and apologize for having a boyfriend.
Why? What was the issue with
them? They felt like she wasn't feminist enough. Like she hid it from them. She hid that she was in a relationship. I'm like, and not everybody is entitled to every piece of you.
Yeah.
And that's what Andrew Huberman is entitled to, is a piece of his life that is not for everybody else to dissect when it doesn't impact his actual legitimate work. So I'm sorry, you're not tearing apart his work. You are tearing apart a man who is a human and made potential mistakes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and at worst, in the article is a little bit flaky as a comrade.
As a friend.
Right. And you're like, I get that.
My friends that I canceled on. Again, you want to get them on the next podcast with my ex-boyfriends?
I would have appreciated if you're going to say this is the person that everyone's listening to and here's maybe why you shouldn't, I would have appreciated the end of the thought, because all I heard is I didn't hear any way that it really impacted his work.
Yeah.
Or how he's serving people. And I really don't see a huge disconnect that I can't speak for his own personal work and what he realizes he needs to do. And I have too deep an appreciation for how hard it is to do the work and how slow it is as an imperfect human myself. I regret things every day deeply.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amen to that. And we all do. And it's like, how arrogant are we that to be able, and then to go on a high horse in social media about this and then kick someone when they're down. It is deplorable human behavior.
Well, it's scriptural. You throw the first stone then. If you have no sin, if you have done no wrong,
she's preaching. She's preaching up in here.
I might, because I think it's a good.
I like you on this side of the table, by the way.
I'm sitting on the same side as Candace, so we're next to each other.
And we're not normalizing bad behavior.
No, that's yes.
We're not.
If he did it, he should be held accountable in his personal life with those people.
Yeah. Yeah. What goes around comes around in your relationships. It's not good stuff to do that.
I'm just holding back so many inappropriate comments, just so you guys know. Candace, my dark sense of humor is just, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. It's okay. I just need you to know that I'm thinking, is
Andrew Huberman still your zaddy?
I mean,
I think she has to say yes.
That pause was too long. Yeah.
Candace is like,
I take the good with
reluctantly.
I think overwhelmingly his impact on the conversation about the health topics that he chooses, about the life topics that he chooses, for me personally, because I was not personally impacted by his relational issues, has outweighs any for me. And that's okay. That can be the answer for me. It doesn't have to be the answer for you or for you or for anyone 100%. Else listening.
And if other people want to not listen to him anymore, then don't.
Or listen with a slight more discernment than maybe they
Absolutely.
Were using.
Maybe you should have done that to begin with.
And we're not against that either.
No.
You know, obviously we're not, but
Again, don't listen to him. Listen to him. Be cautious about listening to him.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you're entitled to your opinion, but he's entitled to his life.
Yeah, exactly. And then similarly, the Guardian piece on Jay Shetty. Disclosure, I'm friendly with Jay Shetty. I've been on his podcast and he's only been nice to me. I think this is another hit piece. Like, you're going to go and literally dissect every single aspect of this guy's life and all the imperfections and inconsistencies and rip them apart. I don't know how much we want to belabor this, but I kind of feel like it's similar to the Huberman piece. And I find it convenient that in both the articles they talked about, well, in the Huberman article on there they did, he promoted ashwagandha. I go back to like the advertising piece. Like, and ashwagandha is not well-studied adaptogen, even though there's copious amount of studies adaptogen. Well,
and then they also talk about AG1 and how egregious it was that he promoted that as well. Like,
yeah, and that's what makes
me
think.
The man promoted something for a podcast. Oh, my.
It's a free podcast. But that makes me think, did he say no to some pharmaceutical companies or some money where it's like, okay, you said no, and now we're going to come against you because you're promoting a supplement. Normally, you can follow the money and find out where is this coming from. If he was having pharmaceutical advertisement on his podcast, would those articles come out? Completely hypothetical. But I find that interesting. In a lot of these articles, it's really comes from a how dare you not support this 100%, this voice, this orthodoxy 100%. How dare you democratize information? How dare you decentralize information? How dare you not gatekeep? How dare you empower people to get healthy?
So what do you think the flip is for Jay? So from your perspective, when you read this,
I think it's similar, is that he got too big. He's too powerful and too big. And he is a free agent. He's not part of a legacy media. He's not part of a massive industrial complex. He's just a guy who has a voice, and they don't like that. They want to own everybody. They want to own voices. And when they don't own voices, if you get too big, they're going to cut you down. And it happens time and time again. You know, it's similar to Joe Rogan, which again, I'm not even a fan of Joe Rogan, but it's screamed of hit pieces with him. You're going to go and dissect every word the guy said, and he's certainly controversial, and I don't advocate everything that he said, but he got too big and too powerful, and the gatekeepers and legacy media don't like that.
Yeah.
And that is messed up when you talk about health information, because there's a lot of health information that they don't want it out there.
Yeah, I agree. And again, it's, you look at the commonality between all of this. You look at the birth control, you look at Dr. Huberman, you look at Jay Shetty. These are all people who, for all intents and purposes, have helped people, maybe outside of the commonly accepted methods.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, it's not giving people the free choice to think that this is another option. Yeah. They want to take that choice away. If you don't align with what I want, then I'm going to shame you.
Yeah. Because Jay Shetty, I would say, absolutely has helped more people than any potential humanness to him.
Yeah. And same and with for Huberman. Free, you know, for free because it's on the podcast, but also a lot of what he, you know, recommends is free of itself. And I wonder about that piece too. You know, can't, it's tricky. You can't monetize some of the things that he's trying, that he mm-hmm. encourages people and the journeys that he encourages to go on. That's free.
Yeah. Right. Freely helping people and mm-hmm. having people like myself on the podcast is offensive. Having other people in the wellness space is offensive, but he's giving a lot of free content for people to make the decision for themselves.
Yeah.
And for some reason that's threatening. For some reason, that's offensive to an arrogant sick care system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I know these topics are complex. We don't have all the answers, but we're people that are embedded in this industry and in this space. And I wanted to give you a perspective because I think all of this erodes our mental health. This erodes tribalism. It erodes our mental health, but it erodes societal health as well. It creates so much division mm-hmm. and more confusion. It doesn't give people actual tools to reclaim their power. It just feeds into this divisiveness, which I think is not good on a micro level, but it's not good on a macro level either.
Because at the end of the day, I'm going to go back on everything I just said. Everybody had a right to write those articles. They yes. did. They had every right because you should be for free speech. But what's sad is that I think right now there's no middle ground. It's either you're controversial or you're right. And there's mm-hmm. no like, well, maybe it's a bit of both.
Yeah. You're either quote unquote dangerous or problematic or you're right. Yeah. And it's probably somewhere in the middle. It's probably somewhere in the middle. Yeah. So did we solve the world's problems?
Not today. I think we made a dent.
I think we did. At least a little chink in the armor.
Candace is not giving us enough credit here. She's going to write a hit piece on us.
Next. May's episode of Mental Health, Physical Health, all of Will and Andrea's ex-partners.
Let's not ever do that. But in all seriousness, I think this is a good conversation to have. We want to create
I'm grateful that we can have this conversation. Yes. Let's just say that. I'm grateful that we have this conversation. We should be able to, obviously, but I'm grateful that we're able to talk about this.
Me too.
And from a mental and physical health standpoint, this is always going to be a safe place for people to feel heard. Mm-hmm. Patients, listeners, like you're going to get our side. And yes, it still is at the end of the day an opinion, but we're going to look at both sides and we're not going to shame you for either choice that you make on either side of it.
Well said. So if you want to learn more about our clinical work, if you are struggling with hormonal imbalance symptoms, if you want lots of free resources to reclaim your health, or learn about labs and telehealth and all that other stuff, you can check it all out at drwillcole.com. I'll see you next time. Thanks again for listening to The Art of Being Well. If you have a chance, please rate and review the podcast here. And if you like what you're hearing, hit follow and pass it along to a friend. To see more, head to drwillcole.com/podcast. I'll be back again next Thursday, and I hope you will too. Talk soon.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.